Macmillan Audio presents Joe Gollum and the Drowning City by Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden. Read for you by Robert Fass.
Chapter 1. Orlov the Conjurer dreams he is a ghost. He floats in the corner of a strangely ornate room, a tiny cathedral of Moorish arches and aquarium glass windows, beyond which are only seagrass and barnacles and a host of fish of various species, all of them aloof and indifferent to the screams and the bloody perversions occurring in that peculiar chamber of horrors. The ghostly Orlov weeps tears of anguish and futility, for he can do nothing to help the woman splayed grotesquely on the yellow marble altar, its surface cut through with runnels to capture her blood and other fluids. They pour into a pair of downspouts at the lower edges of the altar, and run down into a small hole in the dark. And somehow, the conjurer knows that the blood and offal and birthing fluids are sluicing down into the floor to feed something hungry. The woman has been chained ankle and wrist with rusted iron, incongruous against the clean Numidian marble. The chains are secured to iron rings set into the floor around the altar. An impotent specter, Orlov can only watch as her body betrays itself, jerking and shuddering. The chains bind her not to keep her from escaping, but to prevent the eruptions occurring in her flesh from jerking her off of the altar. Her distended belly undulates with movement from within, as three crimson-robed figures hover around her, poking and prodding her flesh and her orifices with clinical interest. They have daubed her skin with ochre paint, inscribing her with sigils whose meanings Orlov cannot deduce. As she bucks against the altar, the ochre paint begins a slow, acidic burn, branding the sigils deeply into her flesh. Orlov hates them. He clenches his phantom fists as rage fills him, but it is a hopeless, useless fury. Here, in this dream, he is nothing. Less than nothing. He can neither move to aid her, nor shout curses down upon her tormentors. Nor can he curse the capering madman orchestrating it all. The occultist's filthy hair is tied back with a rusted metal ring, and two others bind the twin braids of his beard. While his servants work the woman's flesh with calm detachment, his prancing enthusiasm combines childlike glee with almost sexual arousal. As he circles the altar, he darts in between the three crimson-robed figures to utter a string of guttural chants, all the while passing a strange object over the woman, inches above her flesh. Somehow Orlov knows this object. He wonders if he is dreaming the madman's dream, or if he is merely haunting it, a ghost lingering in the house of the lunatic occultist's unconscious mind. Regardless, the artifact is familiar to him. It is Lector's pentagulum, a knot of tubes and small chambers reminiscent of a human heart, but made of a colorful unknown substance with properties akin to both amber and sea glass. The pentagulum appears inert, and yet a tiny shift in position seems to alter its design, a trick of the light or of the eye, or some queer geometry the human mind cannot perceive. The occultist gazes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?